The men's half pipe and snowboarding, the U.S. men's hockey team will play its first game in about an hour against Slovenia. Sports Hub headlines are brought to you by the 99 restaurants. They've got nine real size entrees for just $9.99, like their balsamic grilled chicken. Real meals at a real value, only at the 99, always the real deal. I'm John Wallach at Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Your next update in 30 minutes.
Touchdown, touchdown, touchdown.
Sports Hub.
Now, Toucher.
He turned out to be a real jerk.
Rich.
He's a disruptive influence.
Get in touch with Toucher and Rich. Call 617-779-0985. It's the Toucher and Rich Show. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Instead of going out buying those little heart-shaped candies, give your girlfriend or your wife a box of Snickers. You see what I mean? They last a long time, and nothing like chewing on that caramel and the nuts. I'll tell you, it's good. It lasts longer. And plus, here's a tip for Mr. T. Valentine's Day really should be every day. I pity the fool who have to wait to Valentine's Day to tell his girlfriend or wife that he love her and buy a box of candy. He should do that every day. Yoga, Pilates, make me mad. And when Mr. T's mad, things get bad. You fools need to get wise about how real men should exercise. Men lift weights. Men play contact sports. Men shouldn't do anything in tight lycra shorts. Real men box. Real men train. Do anything else, and I'll cause you pain. The time has come to take a stand. Mr. T is coming. Snickers in hand. Snickers. Get some nuts.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning. We're at the Toucher and Rich radio program, and everyone should listen to Mr. T.
Well, I mean, listen, the guy cares about lots of things. Valentine's Day, mother. He's got an entire song about loving your mother.
Yep.
Remember that one?
Yeah, when mother.
There is no mother. Like mother, so treat her right.
That's right. You got to treat your mom right.
Well, Valentine's Day should be every day.
A lot of people say that, Valentine's. So I was watching the...
Over the age of six?
I guess. So I was watching the Olympics yesterday, and two things happened. Did you watch the speed skating?
No, I saw Sean White. That's who I...
Well, one thing made me happy, and one thing pissed me off. There is apparently this, really lame guy that speed skates from, the Netherlands.
Oh, is this a guy with the long blonde
hair?
Yes, I saw all the black and white photos with his girlfriend.
Yes.
Where he makes himself out to be Thor. Yeah, I've seen this.
He's
only he's not. He's about this big around.
Yeah, he looks like someone from What was that? I'm going to say.
Color Me Bad?
He looks like a guy from Color Me Bad. Yep. He's like the bad boy skating.
Yes.
Which I just find fascinating. I'm the bad boy of speed skating. You're. And he got killed.
Who's I didn't see him skate.
The Netherlands? Yeah. The guy he was skating against wiped out.
Okay.
And then he started cramping up halfway through.
Oh, the quads. Failed him.
Oh, yeah. The quads failed him. And so he was done. So he lost.
Oh, that's
which was
too bad.
It was fantastic. And then Sean White won,
mm-hmm.
which I found aggravating because I hate him.
Why? Okay.
I don't know.
You see, I understand why he could be aggravating, but I mean, watching him last night, the dude was unreal. I mean, he's perfect. He's flawless when he goes up there.
But the thing is that this all was underground. There was a whole scene, and that it was all, punk rock and music and all this stuff. And now, first of all, I don't care for snowboarding. And second of all, it's now the Olympics. It's lame.
But it's been like that for 20 years.
No, I know. It just, I don't like him. he was the first guy to me. He was the first
X Games star. The guy who was born of the X Games and became a megastar.
Yeah, just a lame.
Sure.
megastar.
I see what you mean. Like, he had, like, the clothing line and all that stuff.
Yeah, I don't care for him. Well, I want him to lose everything.
Well, and now people are going nuts because yesterday, in the heat of all of it, somebody, like, handed him an American flag. And I guess the American flag, like, touched the ground, and everyone is losing their mind.
He was dragging it, and, like, all this stuff. Like I knew that was going to happen.
I mean, now it's, like, middle America screaming at the guy. And they're like, oh, how dare you disrespect the flag. I mean, you're probably not thinking straight after you do something like that. You know, people do make mistakes. I don't think he was doing it on purpose.
I knew he was going to get in trouble.
Oh, man, it is outrage.
He was dragging it and, like, forgot it was in his hand. I mean, like, he was handed it. He held it up. And then, yeah, I knew it. I knew that people were going to get pissed off. Good. I hope he goes home in infamy. I hope he goes home and gets, and everyone hates him. Him and that guy from the Netherlands, the Bad Boys skating.
That is the funniest thing.
Yeah. I mean, didn't stick around and watch it?
I didn't watch him skate, no. I guess the Bruins were on, actually.
No, I know
time.
That.
So that's why I missed it.
No, I know. But I couldn't leave. I had to see him fail.
And Rich, you really need to see it because the American TV coverage had black and white photos of him posing with, I guess it was his girlfriend. It could have been a model, whatever it was.
I think it was his
girlfriend.
And
he had his speed suit, like, unzipped down, like, halfway down his chest.
Oh, yeah.
And he had the long, flowing blonde hair, and he weighs maybe 110 pounds.
They literally called him the Bad Boy of skating.
It was really funny. Now I need to see this.
Yes. Yeah. But the guy he was racing against wiped out, and apparently, like, that's the worst thing that can happen because you have no one to race against.
Okay.
And then he started, like, grimacing. Again, this is like once around the track or twice around. I don't know how many times you go around the track. But it was like the one where you don't go around very much.
Okay.
And he like completely failed. And it was wonderful because I immediately hated him. Like, and God bless the TV, you know, in the way they do it because they made me hate him within like 30 seconds.
Well, yeah. So I'm looking at the pictures now, Sean, because I didn't see I watched the first run live, which was awesome. I didn't see the second one, then I saw the third one this morning. So I didn't see him being handed the flag. I just read everything about it, and now I'm seeing it. I mean, so he didn't expect to be handed a flag, so he's holding it, and he's holding the board at the same time. And at one point, the flag is behind him, and he steps on part of it.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't see that.
You should just see the people who have, like, Bald Eagle Twitter handles.
Very disrespectful. Good. If it was anyone else, I would support them. But Sean White, I say good.
Sean White's calmed down. Well, he's not as annoying as he used to be.
I read an article in, like, Men's Journal or something like that where he's like, I got to kick ass. I don't know where to go. There's only, like, snow in one place. It's like, the Norway. Let's jump on a plane and go.
No, that was an American Express commercial he did.
No. I read it. Okay. I read it. It's in my bathroom.
Well, here's
it's
the problem.
That was a commercial he also did. It's like, where's the snow? I got this.
Apparently that's true.
Okay. Well, now's the problem for Sean White, who's 32. He's got to find something else to do with his life. Yeah. I think there'd be nothing more depressing than a 36-year-old snowboarder competing against kids half his age.
He'll be the Tony Hawk of snowboarding. I mean, he'll continue to do it till he's like 50. And because he's that good.
Well, he's done competing. You think he's going to come back at 36?
No, not in the Olympics.
I think he will. Why not?
Really?
He's the best in the world. Why wouldn't he not?
Who knows? But I hope he fails. Everything he does, I hope he fails. I don't care for him. I don't like him. I don't know. I wished he fell and hit his head. I didn't like that. Not like a severe injury. Just like more embarrassment.
Yeah,
ring his bell a little bit.
Yeah, you know,
sure. Not unconscious, not concussion.
Oh,
but
no. Just more embarrassing than anything else. Yeah. I'm not wishing for anyone's, pain.
Right. Accidentally whack side of his head on the half pipe while he's doing one of those tricks.
More of like
on the side. I gotcha.
Like more like you'd play the Benny Hill theme to it.
Okay.
Than anything else.
I just don't think enough about him. It's like for every 4 years.
I never think about him. But when I do, I want him to fail.
It is kind of funny because if you just Google his name, it's like, you know, I mean, the dude just won gold medal and one of the main stories is him stepping on a flag. You know, it's like that's kind of taken over him actually winning the gold medal.
Of course it does.
Good.
So social media is all about.
I'm glad it did.
That's right. Taking our heroes and just dragging them down.
Well, how many people on the planet snowboard the half pipe? And first of all, that was invented like not long ago. I don't know. Everything used to be cooler than
this. Yeah, it was like
now.
The mid-90s, I think, was when this is all kind of took off.
Well, which is lame. It's like rollerblading, like the lamest crap in the world.
I don't think anybody rollerblades anymore. I think that's one thing that's like dead.
I don't think it does
anymore. You get the trade head dead.
But that was like when there was like rollerbladers that would go out to skate parks and you'd be like, what are you doing, you goon?
Was there a movie or two about like renegade rollerbladers?
Yeah, there was one with Jack Black that was in it where the...
Oh, yeah.
Prayer of the Roller Boys?
No. I know which one he's talking about. Some poor guy from Cincinnati. Moved to...
No. A guy from, California moved to Cincinnati.
Oh, moved to Cincinnati, and Jack Black
Airborne.
Airborne. And it ended with a 35-minute rollerblading scene down a big hill that wound up in a parking garage and then next to the river.
Yeah. Yep. Jack Black, you're right.
Seth Green was one of the guys. Yeah.
No, he
was the main character's best friend, Seth Green, the dorky guy. He was like picked on.
The first dorky guy that would dare to be friends with the cool guy.
Who was in Prayer of the Roller Boys? Is that with the Coreys?
I don't remember Prayer of the Roller Boys.
I only remember Airborne.
Okay, because that was, oh man.
The guy was a surfer, right?
He was a surfer
who liked to play ice hockey somehow, and then Jack Black.
And all the cool kids hung out at the ice rink.
That's right. And they all rollerbladed, all of them.
Yeah, they all did. Prayer of the Roller Boys, Corey Haim, Patricia Arquette, and that was a 1990 special. That was, I think, an HBO regular, I believe. And it was about gangs of rollerbladers.
Prayer of the Roller Boys.
It was like the what was the movie with the dudes who dressed as the baseball players?
Warriors.
It was like the Warriors on rollerblades.
Okay.
Because you know that was like super serious too. Prayer of the Roller Boys. You know that the guy that made that was like,
we're going to make a statement here.
Yeah, this is going to be big.
That's right.
Listen to how
preposterous this plot is. Set in an unspecified time in the future, USA has declined to become a country of violence and racial prejudice. Griffin earns his living delivering pizzas while he has to take care of his little brother. An old friend of his, Gary Lee, is the leader of a gang with big ambitions, the Roller Boys. Griff joins them to help police keep track of the gang. All right, so that's nice. It's futuristic, too.
Yeah.
Because in the future, everyone has rollerblades.
Yeah, of course they do. But, the guy from the Netherlands lost. It was in the Olympics, all I like to do is root against people. That's what I don't like rooting for anyone.
Ah.
I like rooting against them. So last night I was 1-1. I didn't watch Shaun White because I find it intolerable, the half pipe.
But it was actually actual high drama that I was interested in watching.
Oh.
That run,
the Shaun White thing,
one.
It was unbelievable.
Yes, he needed a great performance to win the gold because the guy who went before him had out of 100 had like a 96. So White had to land like his signature trick with a couple other tough jumps, and he landed all of it. It was good.
Good. And then he disrespected the flag, and now I'll never be able to enjoy it.
Somebody said that that guy from the Netherlands reminded me of Will Ferrell in Blades of Glory. Didn't they call him the bad boy of skating?
Yes, he did.
That was an actual
Chaz
name.
Michael.
Blades of Glory is an underrated movie. It's a fantastic movie.
No, it's terrible.
It's a
great movie.
Anchorman's my favorite movie of comedy of all time, and Blades of Glory is not good.
No, see, I actually enjoyed that movie. Surprisingly, I didn't expect to like it, but I did.
Not nearly as good as Anchorman, but it's still very good.
I mean, Step Brothers is his best.
Of course.
Without a doubt, Step Brothers is the best Will
Ferrell like
movie.
You like Step Brothers, John, more than you like Anchorman?
Yes. Step Brothers might be my favorite comedy. Like, it's movie.
Every time I see it,
goes higher up.
I like Anchorman. It's a close second, but I like Step Brothers the best.
Okay. Well, you're both stupid. Now I root for both of you.
Rich, there's the picture of the guy behind you. That's him.
Well, he does look like a bad boy.
Yeah,
just imagine the suit unzipped halfway and it having be in black
hair
and white.
Unfurled.
It's glorious.
Yes, it's that was fun to see him fail.
I agree with you there.
What do you think? You're better than me? And then he failed.
Get a haircut, you freak.
And you know what's great is that all this is on tape delay, so they set him up knowing he was going to fail.
Probably.
Like, they put that whole package together.
Of course they did.
Like, well, this guy's going to look like a real jackass after we have this package.
That's why we're going to put the picture in black and white.
Right. Oh, he lost. Let's get all the embarrassing
too
photos.
Bad.
Yeah. Build him up so
and his girlfriend left him, and he's got nothing left.
Good. I hope he's miserable for the rest of his life. All right. Here's the CBS Sportsman with Boomer Esiason, brought to you by Wilson Farm.
TNR 98.5, the Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Toucher and Rich.
Recapping what you missed with Tutcher and Rich.
What happened last night?
.985, the Sports Hub, we're Tutcher and Rich. Rich, what happened last night?
The Bruins are so good that they broke Jack Edwards.
I did a remix of it.
Was that the one I sent you?
If you were watching...
No, I put it on Instagram. Oh, okay. And then I said, is it only me that this... And then everyone said it was only me.
No. If you were watching last night's win...
You got the old Kraftwerk.
It was right. 6 minutes left in the second period. You were treated to a several-minute glitch by Nesson. Either that or Jack Edwards bought 3,000, finally broke, as he pined his love for Jenny.
I think that's why I saw the Bad Boy Skating. Is because of that glitch.
And you switched it at that point.
Oh, but, yeah. Well, I mean, I put it on Instagram, so I knew that I was being super fresh.
No. It was a ton of people. I mean, it was... I don't know if it was just people who were watching it on Comcast.
No, I was on DirecTV.
DirecTV.
Okay,
had it was too.
It DirecTV? Yeah. Okay, because, I mean, at one point, and this is like, you know, 6 minutes left in the second, just...
Jenny.
I mean, it seemed to go on forever.
But then it added, like 3 seconds to the clip,
okay,
which made it even more like annoying DJ.
Well, maybe it was just that the Bruins are so good right now that Jack's head exploded. Who knows? Because they are that good. 5-2, the final score for Calgary, and a lot of that success as of late has to do to this guy.
Now Chara, far wall in the Flames' end. Backus's drive. Marchand shoots and score! Brad Marchand's drive, tipped by Bergeron. It goes shelf by Riddick.
Patrice Bergeron, a guy that many, including Don Cherry last night, said he's considering him for the Hart Trophy for MVP.
Yes, absolutely.
So, once again, he was amazing. 2 goals and an assist. And in his last 19 games alone, Patrice has 17 goals and 10 assists and has been a reliable monster, as he always is on defense. And this, yeah, that great block shot at the end of the game, too. And this guy had quite the game as well.
And now over the line, here's McAvoy. Pulls it around to check. Left circle, Schaller, center. They score! For Tim Schaller, and Riley Nash popped in his second of the night to tie it at 2.
Riley Nash burying 2 last night, and Charlie McAvoy looked great too. He had his best game since returning from surgery 6 games ago. They just continue to kill it. Every single line, the defense, the goaltending. It's really been fun to watch, and I'm glad that people are finally figuring it out now that the Patriot season is done.
Tampa Bay has been in first place for so long. I mean, they obviously have 2 of the best players in hockey skating on the same line, but everyone knows about Las Vegas, but no one's really familiar with their players. Boston is the team no one wants to play, ever. And I was reading Kevin Allen, a USA Today, a very good hockey writer, and he said the same thing. That's the team everyone is scared to face in a playoff series right now.
Well, have you heard that they're in on Ryan McDonagh?
Yep.
I mean, the Rangers are going to fleece their roster.
I've heard Rick Nash, too, and we talked about...
Yeah, I'm not wild about Rick Nash.
McDonagh, obviously. Nash is another one who still has a big salary. But
would you trade Carlo?
Maroon scored last night. What's that?
Would you... And they're in on Maroon, too.
Yeah.
Would you trade Brandon Carlo as part of a package for McDonagh? Because I would not.
No, if I'm hesitating this long, probably not.
Because would you trade Heinen in a package for McDonagh? Because now you have to understand that they have a surplus of prospects. So would you... I would certainly not trade Carlo.
See, I would think about Heinen. You see, the thing is, I don't know how many great forwards they have.
I think the forward...
You can afford to give up a defenseman. I don't think you can afford to give up a young forward.
And I agree. And I don't think that you can afford to give up Carlo, because Sweeney has done the right thing and grown and developed through the system. I would give up every pick I have, because you have such a surplus of talent in Providence. So I would go here. Here's all the picks.
I
give up 2 first-round picks.
That's why I think a guy like Maroon makes more sense, because, and we're going to have Joe Haggerty on later in the show, he wrote 2 days ago that to get Maroon, who I think has 14 goals now, you won't have to give up a lot. You won't have to give up a first-round pick, and you won't have to give up one of your top-line prospects to get him.
Because I heard this yesterday, but Stanley Cup of Chatter, who we've had on for 10 years, we've had him on. Jake DeBrusk, Brandon Carlo. I don't do that.
I don't do that either.
Torrey Krug, a second-rounder and mid-level prospect. I mean, I do that, but there's no way they take that. McQuaid or Miller, first-round to second-round pick. I don't think that they do that. I think that you would have to give up Carlo or Heinen, which I don't want to do.
If I'm a team, that's who I ask for.
But also, but the thing is that if something's working, you understand? If, like, your ideal, your whole plan is working, do you blow it up to get McDonough?
I don't think so.
Neither do I. And
I
then
don't think
you have, so if you want to pick up an asset, you don't need those picks right now. And you have
no, you can afford to give up a first rounder. Sure, you
can.
Yeah,
and you have a surplus of talent in the AHL who's never going to play. Who were never going to play in the NHL based on you've been too good. Your selections and your development has been too good. I don't think I'd give up guys that are already up. I think that I would give up prospects and I would give up picks because you can afford to do that.
Well, here is Bergeron yesterday and all the talk about him possibly being a Hart candidate.
Obviously, you've won 4 Selkies, the Hart Trophy, something you'd be interested in winning, obviously.
No, it's not something that, you know, it's really something that I feel we're in a team game and, you know, that's all I'm worried about right now. It's about, you know, staying focused, staying in the moment, and it's all about, you know, keep pushing ourselves to be a better team and
shut
nothing
up, nerd.
About the other stuff.
All right, so Bergeron has 27 goals now. That's 5 short of his career high, and we still have about 25 or 30 games left in the regular season. He's in the top 10 in the NHL in scoring. He's in the top 10 in the NHL in power play goals. And he's in the top 10 in the NHL in shorthanded goals.
And plus,
add the defensive aspect to it. He has to be top 5 candidate.
Where's Sidney
right
Crosby
now
in all those categories?
Well, Crosby doesn't have 20 goals yet.
Okay.
He's
right.
Got a lot of assists, but yeah, he does not have 20 goals
all
yet.
Right. Christian, hello.
Hey, so what I think the Bruins plan needs to be is they need to dish out this kid, Jeremy Lozon,
yep,
Providence,
sure,
who is
sure
a highly touted.
Yep.
So they need him,
okay,
and prospects. And then they also need to get Jason Vanek. And then if you plug him on the right side of that second line and then him and Krejci connect with their weird Czech-Slovak chemistry, then that could be, I mean, you could be set for a run right there.
Wait, are you, was McDonough part of that?
No.
Okay,
no.
All right. So you want who?
Thomas Vanek.
Okay.
He's playing with Vancouver right now.
Yeah.
But if you have
Bruins killer.
Yes.
Yeah, so you know,
if
you have Krejci, you know, passing on that line, and then if you have that trigger man, especially with them utilizing the bumper right now, I mean, you could be flipping deadly.
You know what? You might not even need to make a trade. I mean, watch the Olympics. Watch the Olympic team this week. They have a game in about a half an hour. Ryan Donato is having an unconscious year for Harvard, and he's playing for Team USA. That's a guy who could be skating on a wing next to Krejci in about a month and a half.
I would give up Donato to get McDonough. So,
Toucher and Rich.
Wake up.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Age. 985, the Sports Sub, we're Toucher and Rich. That is Jack Edwards yesterday. All of a sudden, Nessun goes remix on the people.
Someone said maybe you make that the new goal song. Everyone's been looking for one because Zombie Nation has kind of run its course.
Yeah.
Maybe you have the Jenny remix on there, the Jack Edwards Jenny remix.
Maybe you do the Forget the Horse, Ride a Cowboy, or whatever the hell that song
Save
is.
Save a Horse, Ride a Cowboy?
Big and Rich?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, why not?
I think Nashville kind of already stole something similar to that.
That's the jam.
Yeah. Is it the 2004
Save
jam?
Save a Horse, and then like Ride a Cowboy, as in
fornicate,
sex.
Yes.
Yeah, but not with the horse, but with the person.
With the cowboy, right.
Yeah, you ride the cowboy. Mm-hmm. And do you see how that's deliciously naughty?
Mm-hmm. They're okay. Rapping cowboys.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
They are.
So this has been a very strange spring training down in Fort Myers, starting with, of course, Dan Roach
for the first time in 25 years, not going down there to cover it, which we all know we are heartbroken. Still have not heard back from Dan. Now, he was tweeting yesterday, and he was doing his reporting, and I think we all know why he's not tweeting. He doesn't want to talk bad about his company, probably.
Right. And he's obviously furious about what's going on and that he was not sent down there, and he doesn't want to come on and have us make a big deal about it. And so I'm not going to ask him again to come on.
But you know what's probably pissing off Dan Roach even more is the fact that Dan Shaughnessy's down there just trolling people. Did you see some of the pictures that he tweeted yesterday?
Yes. There's one I didn't see what he tweeted. I heard what he was asking David Price. But he does the Red Fro in Fort Myers at this time of year is on point.
Well, he's enjoying it. But, you know, he tweeted a picture yesterday, and it said, the crowd's here at a fever pitch for spring training, and it showed, like, just two reporters randomly standing in front of a gate looking in. And that was it. Just two guys. The Fro's going nuts.
You heard his Fro just going.
Let me just read.
Laughing in delight.
Let me just read you the opening of his article that he came out with. It said, I've been in Fort Myers well over 24 hours, and every conversation with every Red Sox fan, Snowbird, and JetBlue clubhouse attendant starts with the same question. How come Malcolm Butler didn't play in the Super Bowl? No one knows. We'll never know. So let's talk about something else for a minute. Let's turn to the feel-bad story of the 2017 Red Sox. Let's get everyone back in a baseball mood with a cleansing, expansive interview with David Price. And, of course, you yesterday, when David Price faced the media, the Fro was front and center, ready to go, ready to take him down. And
everyone was trying to part the Fro to get a look at David Price.
It was kind of funny because, according to reporters, one of the first things that David Price said was, we can talk, but you're not going to come over and overload me with negativity. It's not going to happen. That's not going to happen.
Well, and then the Fro said,
you ain't seen nothing yet.
He said, challenge accepted.
So one of the first questions he was asked was, are you going to be here next year? You could opt out, so you're going to be here.
David, is there any doubt in your mind you'll be back here next year too?
No, there's not. You know, I came here to win. You know, I wanted to, I knew how tough it was to play here and to pitch here. And if you can go out there and win, you know, I know all the emotions and everything is going to be even better, you know, in that positive light. So I look forward to doing that and feeling that positive light.
And then it was the time for the Fro to step up. He said, oh, you're saying the word positive a little too much. You got any regrets about signing here, David?
Do you have any regrets about your decision to come here?
No, not at all. You know, everything that I've, you know, been through in the past 2 years, you know, it's been a struggle, absolutely, but you know, I feel like I've gotten better from it. I've learned from it, and
that's a burden.
Look forward to continue to learn.
It's got a nest on top.
How would you characterize like what happened last year with your relationship with us? It didn't seem like you liked to be in Boston at the end.
That's the way, you know, it was interpreted, and you know, that's you know, I could have handled it better last year, absolutely. You know,
they flight down.
I didn't, and
to be the
I've moved on. You know, I look forward to getting back this year and getting off on the, you know, on the right foot.
So now you got me picturing the entire interview with him, Dan Shaughnessy, having a nest in his head with birds in it.
Not even a nest, just they've nested his hair. There's just gum and twigs. The Fro.
Every time he moves, the birds moves with it.
Yes.
By the way, here's a picture. After a, quote, active offseason, Red Sox generating a lot of buzz in spring training so
no
far.
Cares.
It's just two dudes looking in the
cage. They even send Roach. Yeah, I like that David Price doesn't regret signing here.
No.
He looks at St. Louis and is just drooling.
I mean,
get me out of this place.
He's going to snap before spring training is done.
And then he'll opt out. In October.
Yeah, probably.
Which will go diametrically opposed to what he just said.
Yes.
Day one, everything's rosy. Let's see where we are after he gets tagged for 8 runs in May.
Price is so bad at playing the media. He's so bad at it.
Well, I mean, look, actually talked to him after the season was over and he went down to Fort Myers to decompress. For whatever reason, he arrived there December 1st. Somebody sat him down and said, look, you're doing this all wrong. I mean, just be nice. Say you love it here. Everything will go a lot easier for you. Say, look, winning cures everything. That's what you have to tell the media. As long as I win, things will be fine.
Right.
And he said all the right things yesterday because he was obviously coached on what to say, because when he wasn't coached, it was a disaster last year. So, again, let's see if he reverts back to where he was if he gets lit up.
But it's interesting. You know, yesterday we were talking about why Roach isn't there, and Rich speculated that it was because people don't care. And I kind of was like, well, that can't be the case. And it certainly seems so.
Yeah, and
it seems that, like, just no one cares.
They didn't sign anybody. They didn't do anything.
Yeah, like,
it was a first-round knockout, and now the Yankees have an over-under of 96.
Well, that's part
for next
of it.
Year. I mean,
that's part of it.
People understand that this team isn't the best. Yeah. They were built to be. You know, Dombrowski made all these big moves to make them a World Series favorite, and then we get to October, and everyone realizes they're not a World Series favorite. They're, at best, the third-best team in the American League.
Well, I love
behind Houston and the Yankees, and that hasn't changed.
I love how Shaughnessy just continues to just sit, like, you think you're done, David? No, let's bring this up. So, with a head full of very hungry baby Fitches, here is Dan Shaughnessy bringing up Dennis Eckersley one more time.
And when you speak to things you regret about last year, is the Eckersley thing one of those things you regret the way that played out?
Yeah. I mean, I said it before. You know, I could have handled certain situations last year better, and I didn't. You know, I said that last year in the clubhouse to a big group of you guys. So. Again, I could have handled it better.
Do you see him this year? Would he try to make any amends there?
If he wants to talk, I'll talk.
Yeah, okay. All right. Well, yeah, he's going to snap anytime soon. He's feeding him worms.
He doesn't have to do anything.
The mother's up there.
They're perfectly happy. Yeah, well, the mother will fly away.
Of course.
And then she'll come back with the necessary food.
And then came Alex Cora. They asked, hey, what's your coaching style there, Cora?
My style is yet to be determined. One thing for sure, enjoy the process. Relax through it. It's very important. The more you enjoy it and the more relaxing is the environment, the better it's going to be for you. So that's going to be part of it.
And then the disco ball drops.
Just wave to the crowd.
That's the thing. And that picture of him walking over the bridge towards Fenway, that's going to stick with him forever while he's here.
By the way, like, kids aren't playing baseball anymore. Like, I'm very involved with the baseball league by me, and the kids just aren't playing. It'd be nice if the Red Sox could generate any kind of buzz that kids would care at all about them, but it's not happening. It's starting to affect my life. I would like if they were somewhat good, that you know, or at least would generate any kind of buzz, because every year participation goes down.
Does signing J.D. Martinez do it for you?
I was about to say, J.D. Martinez is going to get here, and all of a sudden all the kids are going to go crazy.
Yeah, they're
J.D. Martinez.
Go
I was just going to say,
it takes a little bit more. They're going to have to do a couple of things.
No, if they got Stanton, it would have been one thing. All right, be listening this morning at 6:50 and 8:50 for your chance to score a pair of tickets to tomorrow's sold-out Pucks and Paddles event featuring your Boston Bruins. So we will have that for you in just a moment. .5, the sports hub, we're Toucher and Richie. We all want the sex of the home run.
Of course.
There's no doubt. Caller number 10 right now to the Pride Motor Group contest line, 617-931-0985. We'll score a pair of tickets to tomorrow's sold-out Pucks and Paddles event featuring your Boston Bruins. Someone, I don't know how much, but someone bid on me, and I will not do well. And I'm starting to feel a bit of pressure, because I would assume the person that bid to play with me would like to move on,
mm-hmm.
so they could play against more Bruins.
Yeah, because I think, though, you and I are going to start against, like, pretty big-name people. I think that's the plan. So it'll probably be, like, one of us against Patrice and the other one against, like, Marchand or Chara. I think that's how they wanted it to go.
Okay.
So at least you'll get face-to-face with one of the big ones. I mean, you're already going to meet him at VIP if you won the auction. So
yeah,
we'll get embarrassed.
Just trying to imagine playing ping pong against Chara.
Yeah, you put a hole right through your chest. Get that slap shot going.
The man sitting down is intimidating.
But I have a feeling that he doesn't, like, screw around a lot, so maybe he's not very good.
Hmm. While everyone else is noodling around on the ping pong table,
like Marchand's great,
right?
And, you know, he's between the legs and everything, and then, you know, get Chara.
Chara's, you know, running around with the weights on his legs and, you know, crushing it. He's the James Harrison of the Bruins.
Yeah. I would assume that's the case, but I'm not going to let myself fall to the pressure.
Well, the earlier you're out, the more you can drink.
If you, I can drink no matter what.
Yeah, I was just going to say, there's no rule. yeah, says you
this
can.
Is not, this you
drink
sound
while
like,
you're playing ping. If you
put it right there on the table.
If you keep winning, you have to keep playing.
Yeah, yeah. And I can. This is like bowling. I mean, you can drink all you want.
During ping pong?
Yeah.
It's a little tougher.
There are breaks between points. It's not continuous.
No, I'll drink the whole time. There's no doubt about that. This seems like there's a little bit less pressure than Cuds for a Cause.
Without a doubt.
I don't think we have to carry the whole event, hopefully.
No, I think we can have a little more fun than in the past.
I would hope so.
By the way, I have to see Black Panther now. I'm reading about all this stuff because I kind of wanted to see it anyway. But now it's like people are coming out with these reviews that are so over the top. Like I'm hearing people call it that it's like a new Star Wars, that it's more than just like a Marvel movie, but just from the place that they've created alone, you can do like 15 different stories.
Do you think that there's pandering? Do you think that a little bit is like pandering?
Well, I kind of think that there is an element of people turning this into, I haven't seen it, so I don't know, but I know a lot of people are praising it as being like a breakthrough as far as
right,
black cinema.
Right, because it's the first black superhero movie.
But it's not the first. I mean, there was, you know, what was Steel with Shaq. You know, we all saw that. And that was a
Kazam.
No, but they're saying it's amazing. And no matter what you, the reviews are, no matter what you've heard, it's better than that. But now, it apparently has outpaced every Marvel movie in history in advanced ticket sales. As a matter of fact, just as of yesterday, it's outpaced all superhero movies, like all of them, including Batman versus Superman. And they're saying that this weekend it might make $170 million. $170 million in one weekend.
Well, good.
So all I know is that it's got 98% positive, and the people who have seen it are coming out saying it's everything you've heard, it's even better than that. And Marvel movies are just better than, they're good movies. When's the last bad Marvel movie that came out?
Yeah, you know, DC Comics. You know,
thank God. I was hoping. I was hoping that we'd go there.
Is this comic book Francesa?
Yeah, you think Superman, you know, you got, I mean, he can make the Earth rotate around.
He could.
I mean, you go over here, you go, look at me, I'm Iron Man. I'm just a guy. At the end of the day, he's just some rich, he's Steinbrenner.
So you take Superman over Iron Man.
He's Steinbrenner at the end of the day. He's Steinbrenner with the suit. You give me Superman, he flies. Oh, look at me, I got x-rays.
Is Iron Man top five?
Top five
all-time superhero?
Now you're asking questions. All right, so we're getting rid of Aquaman right away.
Okay. Right. Which member of the Justice League could coach the Giants?
Well, if you're asking me, I mean, you get the duel. You get the guy, look at me, I'm water, and the other one's the fire.
Aquaman?
No, the water.
The
and
Wonder
fire.
Twins.
Oh, the Wonder Twins.
Yeah, you get those twins in there.
Is Gleek involved? Is he going to show up?
No, Gleek was something they added that was superfluous.
Superfluous.
Yeah, no one needed Gleek.
Yeah, sure. For the kids.
It's like the Great Gazoo.
The Great Gazoo, yes. The Great Gazoo. That was the Flintstones, right?
Yes.
Okay,
yes,
all it
right.
was.
Scotty, go ahead, sir.
Hey, you guys, you're into hockey. You didn't catch the beginning of the game last night?
I've heard about this. I did not see it. What happened?
Oh, he was hammered, obviously. I think he was out partying with the guys from the 40-year-old team. He completely screwed up the Canadian national anthem.
Doesn't Rene Rancourt get kind of a free pass because he's so old?
But because I'm, like, weirded out about, like, talking about him being hammered, because who knows what's going on with them.
Listen, we don't know what he was, but I have heard that he messed up the Canadian anthem. But give the guy a free pass. He's
home
like,
stretch.
Yeah, no, this is it.
But also, he's quit, so I don't know what's going on with him. I don't know if there's like a health thing.
I mean,
because this is one of the things that you start busting on him for, like, you know, being drunk, and then it turns out something's wrong with him.
No, listen, I don't think anybody's going to say that he's driving other than that guy, but we don't know what happened.
Well, if he said it, and you've heard it, then people are speculating.
No. I've heard that he messed it up. I've heard that the anthem yesterday didn't go that well, which, you know, if you've done it so many times, once again, you give Rene Rancourt a free pass.
No, I don't care if he was hammered, but the thing I'm saying is this sounds like something that you bust his balls for being drunk, and then it turns out there's something going on.
Yeah. So, I mean, at this age, you just kind of go, all right, well, it's Rene.
And he's retiring.
Right, it's Rene, and that's what he does, and let's have him go.
Like, I never cared for him myself, and I thought it was hysterical that you would ask him to come. I would ask him to come in the studio, and he would demand to be paid.
Yeah, he wants to be paid. And how much does he get paid to go to a wedding?
$2?
No. I think he gets paid pretty well. I think that is because how many people have you seen, like, on Facebook or whatever, who have had Rene Rancourt, like, at their wedding? Like, a lot of people do it.
Who gets more, Sarge or Rene Rancourt? Sarge brings a whole DJ situation in.
He does.
I have a friend of mine who had all the mascots of the Detroit teams at his wedding. He had Sparty. He had the Lions mascot, the Pistons mascot. He had all of them. He thought it was great. And it was not.
I wonder how much it would cost to get Jack Edwards there. Just to come up there and possibly, like, say he's DJ.
Certainly not toothpaste. Yeah, but... like a roof on fire. Like a roof on fire.
I guess that was every cable system. At least I know that two of them that happened.
I put it on Instagram and people were saying that I was the only one that had it.
Oh, that's not true. Because a bunch of people got it. A bunch of people had that happen.
All right. No commercials here, just the headlines.